Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
And a high fly ball that's well hit deep right field. To the track goes Eaton, to the scoreboard, and it's gone! Pinch hit home run for Camargo.
Yeah, that's the way it sounded in the 10th inning last night, courtesy of Fox Sports South. Chip Carey there. Johan Camargo with a two-run pinch-hit home run, the hero of the night. Johan Camargo, as it seems like every single night, the Braves have a different hero. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy live at the Emory Sports Medicine Complex here, the Atlanta Hawks practice facility. Today was the day that Cam Reddish met with the media. His first day, I guess he got to Atlanta the other day and saw a big billboard of himself.
Cool.
Very happy about that.
That's so cool.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's got to be really cool. Yeah, can't imagine that was bad. Had a chance to talk to him earlier. We'll play you some of that in just a couple minutes. Talked to Travis Schlenk earlier, head coach Lloyd Pierce. If you missed any of that, you can check it out on the website, 92.9thegame.com, on the Andy and Randy page. But let's get back into some of the other big stories of the day. We'll get a little deeper into the Braves story and look at this Cubs series coming up in about 25 minutes. Let's look back at this weekend, though. They win on Saturday and on Sunday to take the series from the Nationals. 6.5-game lead now in the division. The Phillies are falling apart. They've lost 7 in a row. They got swept by the Marlins.
Yes.
Thank you, Marlins.
Thank you, Miami.
Appreciate that. The Nationals have been having issues all year long. Their bullpen's a disaster. They cut Trevor Rosenthal after the game on Saturday.
He had to go. He came and just walked everybody. Yeah.
The Mets are busy fighting with reporters in the clubhouse, having to issue apologies to the media because their manager and their players are trying to fight reporters in the clubhouse. Meanwhile, the Braves have won 13 out of 16, 6.5-game lead in the division, and it just seems like everything's going pretty well up here in Atlanta for these Braves.
Yeah, it's pretty good, Andy, and because they started out 3 back in June 1st.
Yes, they did.
And June's not even over, and they've went up 6.5. And a lot of that, other teams have been helping them out as far as when we talk about the Miami Marlins, but the Braves have been taking care of business, and I think that's the most important thing is that they are in a groove right now that even though they have a glaring weakness, it has not been the end-all, be-all. Now, it's been the end-all of some games, and we know that, and it can continue.
It was almost the end-all of yesterday.
If you don't find a way to get that straightened out, because I'm just – number 77, I'm just tired of looking at them, man. I'm just really am. And I think – I'm not alone when I say that. We need it fixed. I know they got time in between, and you do have a cushion right now. But this NL East race should be over. It should be over right now. Before July 1st, it should be over. Now, anything can happen in sports. Their deficiencies are still winning ball games because they are so loaded, and those bats just keep on staying hot.
Yeah, I mean, the deficiencies they have exist, but they don't have that many deficiencies.
No, it's not a lot.
That's the fun thing about this Braves
team. But it's glaring, though, Andy.
Yes, the ones, and I think that there is more than one now. And the starting pitching had been hanging on. There had been, obviously, bright spots with Soroka. Well, he takes a line drive off his arm. Or no, he took a pitch off the arm yesterday and had to come out of the game. Now, that was a good opportunity for the bullpen to step in and go 8 innings and only give up 3 runs. That was good. The bullpen was pretty good yesterday in total. The closing pitcher, supposed closer of the bullpen right now, maybe isn't that guy. What I don't understand is if Folty has a handful of bad starts to get sent down and taken out of his starting rotation spot. And the same thing with Gausman, his injury. Same thing with Newcomb earlier in the year. Same thing with Tukey. Same thing with Bryce Wilson, Kyle Wright. Like, everyone in the starting rotation is being held to this standard.
Mm-hmm.
Why is the same standard not held to the closing pitcher? And why is Luke Jackson still being trotted out there every single time there's a save situation? Because, look, I know that there's not a bona fide closer on the roster right now.
Right.
But there's somebody else you could give a shot to.
Just something.
Like Anthony Swarzak, I would like to at least see him given an opportunity. Because maybe he isn't a closer. Maybe he is. I don't know. But I know one thing. Luke Jackson isn't.
I think right there, that point right there. I don't know who else, I don't know who's going to be there or whatever, but I know that he isn't.
That's, he's not the guy.
He's not the guy, and he's shown us repeatedly over and over again that he's not that guy. And but again, I'm not going to apologize. We're not going to apologize for being 6.5 games up. And tonight, you know, we were all throughout the season, and we've been, you know, penciling off, this is a test, this is a test. This is, well, this is another test right here.
It is.
And the Chicago Cubs, one of the better teams. I think they are leading the NL Central by maybe a half a game over
Milwaukee.
Yeah,
it's a tight race
over Milwaukee right now.
St. Louis, too.
But they, and St. Louis, yes, they're back in it. But, again, they're still one of the most talented rosters on the MLB, and John Lester's going today. But and he's a veteran. You never know what you're going to give him. Rizzo is playing well. I think he's right behind, or is it Bell behind Freddie for starting first base?
That's Rizzo.
I think it is Rizzo. Yeah. So, you know, you got Rizzo. You know, again, got Bryant, who's one of the best players in baseball. I mean, they got talent there. The Braves need to go into that house. Wrigley is such an amazing place to play baseball, or to watch baseball. I never played there, but to watch baseball. And it should be fun tonight.
We'll get more into that series coming up in 20 minutes and what you need to see tonight from Julio Teheran. One thing we know we're not going to see in the next couple of weeks is Mike Foltynewicz making any starts at the major league level. They sent him down to Gwinnett, made that announcement over the weekend, had just a brutal start on Saturday, got absolutely wrecked, 8 earned runs in 4 innings, and the biggest issue is the way that he's reacting to it. The tantrums are back. The visible frustration is back on the mounds. That's something that had really been his problem a couple years ago. Physically, he's fine. I mean, physically, his arm is okay. He's throwing the ball 97, 98 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. But mentally, he's not, and I don't know how you fix that. Well, we talked to Lloyd Pierce earlier about communicating with different players, and not every player is motivated the same way.
Right.
And he said he uses sarcasm. Hopefully, Snit or whoever's the manager down in AAA will use some sarcasm with Mike Foltynewicz or whatever, because he needs to get figured out mentally, because right now he's a mess.
He is a mess right now, Andy, and I said this earlier when we talked about it. He looked at me like I was crazy. I don't think that Folti realized that he has an issue with anything. I do. I don't think he realizes that. I think he's just like, hey, I'm fine. I'm just not pitching well. That's it. It ain't got nothing to do with my head or anything. Physically, I'm fine. Because I heard Joe Patrick on. He was on with the morning show, and I was getting out of the car when he said it. But he's like, you know, Folti has gotten up to 99 miles an hour on his fastball. So the velocity's there.
All of it's
there.
Physically fine.
Yeah, it's just something else. And until he realizes it is something else, maybe something mentally, and I'm not talking about going crazy or nothing, but I'm just saying.
No.
It could be anything. And until he admits to himself, hey, something wrong with me, then it's going to be the same. They need him, though.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
They absolutely do, unless they're going to go out and make a bunch of moves that they don't expect them to make. I mean, I still think that there will be some moves. I expect a real closer to be brought in. Hopefully that happens sooner rather than later, because the price is only going to go up. Anyway, we'll get back into a bunch more Brave stuff coming up in 20 minutes. We are live up here at the Emory Sports Medicine Complex, the Hawks training facility, because Cam Reddish was announced today. Now, one of the knocks against Cam Reddish leading into this draft, maybe the reason he was actually available at 10, which hopefully is the Hawks' benefit, is his motor. People talked about whether or not he had a high enough motor and was a self-motivated player. I asked him about that. Here's what he said.
I think I have a calm demeanor.
Yeah.
People can take that, you know, the wrong way. Take it as I'm being passive, and I don't think that's necessarily true or accurate in any way. I think I just have a calm demeanor, and but you know, I'm ready to give it my all. So
I think he definitely has a calm demeanor.
He's laid back.
He can confirm.
He's laid back and real chilled, and you know, I think a lot of it, you know, was him being that third. Don't call him a third wheel. Being that third guy up there, he was
third option.
Third option. Thank you. That sounds so much better. He was a third option type guy, and he even explained it to us, Andy, was, you know, I was used to having the ball. I was used to handling the ball and bringing the ball up the floor and initiating the offense and everything. And when he went to Duke, you know, they didn't necessarily need him. It just was, you know, RJ, I got this, or Zion, I got this. But, I mean, the boy can ball. We just need him healthy.
Is that what the whole interview sounded like?
What?
I guess maybe I didn't realize, because we were in it. We were the ones asking him questions.
Uh-huh.
I didn't realize that he sounded quite that calm.
Yeah, he's chilled.
He's a chill guy.
He was chilled.
He was really chilled.
Great sense of humor. We had a lot of fun with him with the whole outcast thing, and he enjoyed it and laughed a little bit about it. But, I mean, this is – he's their ultimate boomer bust pick, man. And to me, he might not be Paul George – you know, because that's what some people are projecting, you know, similar to Paul George.
That's the comparison.
okay.
Okay, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, if it's not that, can it be like right below Paul George?
What's below Paul George? What's the next one down from there? Like, because Paul George is like at his best, at his healthiest. He's a first team all NBA
player. Type player. Yeah.
Like, he's a superstar in the NBA.
Yeah.
Because if that's what we end up getting from Cam Reddish, then everyone's happy and the Hawks might win a championship in the next 5 years. That would be amazing. I'm trying to think, what's the next step down? I mean, the guy that you would still really like to have but isn't quite, you know, a superstar-level player, max contract-level player. Because even if Cam Reddish comes in and is just a starter and is a good starter for the next however many years, that's great at pick 10.
But here's the other thing. How much do we expect him to contribute? Because he need to get his man body, too, now.
Oh, he does. Yeah,
yeah. He needs to get his man body and everything. But, yeah, if you look at the skill set, I mean, he fits everything they want. I brought it up, and that's something that whenever I have had the opportunity to interview Schlenk or Coach Pierce, is always position versatility. They want guys to be able to do more than one thing. If you can only do one thing, we'll find a role for you, but you won't be a guy that we're going to play consistent minutes to.
Gordon Hayward?
Yeah.
Is that like the next step down?
Yeah.
Sort of like a 3-4.
Yeah, Gordon Hayward could ball, man.
Oh, he's a great player.
Yeah, he could ball.
He's a very good player. I don't know about great. He's a very, very good player.
Yes.
If that's what Cam Reddish turns into, that type of player,
I'll take that. Fine.
Travis Schlenk talked about as well. We had him on earlier. If you missed the interview, you can check that out on 929thegame.com on the Andy and Randy page. Travis Schlenk talked about where Cam fits in with this Atlanta Hawks team.
I think what he brings to the table is just his all-around versatility. You know, he's a guy growing up that handled the ball a lot. He's a really good facilitator. He can get in the lane and make plays for himself and others. You know, last year at Duke, he was just kind of thrown out on the perimeter and said, all right, you're going to be our spot-up shooter, because some of their other guys weren't great shooters, so he's kind of thrust into that position. But I think what you're going to see here is he does have that all-around skill set that maybe he wasn't able to show at Duke as much as certainly he would have liked to, and the way we're going to use him, or he'll be able to do that.
We see this with guys all the time, right? You're in college. Mm-hmm. You play in a certain type of system.
Uh-huh.
And if you're a good player and a good team guy, you play the role that you're asked to play.
Right.
Jason Tatum came out of Duke, and I had no idea that Jason Tatum could do the things that he could do.
Yeah, you did.
Because he played his role at Duke the way
that he was asked to play his role.
Then he gets in the NBA, it's like, oh, whoa.
Yeah, good point.
This guy's got all kinds of game that I wasn't familiar with. I went back over the weekend getting ready because I knew we were going to talk to Cam today, and did some research and read about him a little bit, tried to get some background on him, but then also watched some videos of him playing.
Mm-hmm.
You go back and watch some videos of him when he was in high school.
He was yamming on
playing.
Folks.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was yamming on
his handles. I mean, he would get out on the perimeter and isolate. He's got a great step back game. He can go left. He's got a good crossover. A lot of stuff you didn't see him. No, look, it's high school, so it's a little bit of a different level of competition. Like, you know, you might be doing that against somebody like me. Versus, you know, you get into the NBA,
but
there's not a whole lot of people like
me. We thought the same thing about Zion. When he was like, who's these little bitty chumps Zion dunking on in high school? But then he got to
bitty chumps.
Oh, that's what we call them, little chumps. Look at them little chumps out there. But then he got to Duke, and he was doing his thing.
Same thing.
And I know a lot of people that we were talking about mock drafts last year, they had Cam ahead of.
They did.
Yeah, they had RJ Barrett as number one. They had Cam Reddish number two.
I saw one mock draft. I don't know if DeShaun Tate is still here, but Tate tweeted out over the weekend a mock draft. I'm gonna try to find it exactly so I can reference exactly what I looked at from Tate's Twitter. But there was a mock draft where both Cam Reddish and Bruno Fernando were taken before Zion Williamson was.
Yeah.
Now that's, you know, it's a long time ago. That's before the season actually happened. You know, you reassess things once you see what guys look like on the court.
Andy, you remember this? Dick Vitale was on with the morning show last week and was talking about Cam. Now we know how Duke is. I mean, how Dickie V is with, you know, Duke players and all that. But yeah, I mean, you've heard so much as far as the motor about this whole Cam thing, but you've heard a lot of people talk about his position, offensive versatility, a guy who, like you said, he can handle the ball, he can play defense, he can facilitate, he can initiate, he can do all the things that you need, and the Hawks really don't have that secondary ball handler. Outside of your guy, DeAndre Bembry, you know.
He is my guy.
He's your guy.
I'll go for DeAndre Bembry.
Yeah,
he's
right
a good
there.
Player.
Yeah.
If DeAndre Bembry is your eighth guy, then you're happy. I don't know. Tate tweets too much. I can't find it on his Twitter account. Nonetheless, the talent that they accumulated last week, even though we could only talk about one of the three guys, it was a pretty nice haul. We'll be able to talk about the other two guys coming up in a couple weeks. All right, let's move on to a couple of different things. There was a piece of breaking news out of Atlanta United's camp today. Not good news. Doug Robertson was reporting on the AJC that Ezekiel Barco was hurt in the U.S. Open game last week. He's not going to be able to go on Wednesday against Toronto.
Sucks.
Looks like they're probably not going to see him back until July 10th in a U.S. Open Cup match when they play. Who is it?
Why they got to play? No, don't put him in
there.
They
play St. Louis FC, which is a minor league team.
Man, let him come back when they
play. That's 2 weeks. That means he's injured for 2 weeks.
Whatever, man. All right. When we knew that he was leaving and we knew that Joseph and all these guys were leaving, our first thought is always don't get hurt over there doing
Absolutely.
That. And then you come back and now he gets hurt in this game against Columbus. Hopefully, you said 2 weeks. Hopefully, it's not longer than that. But, yeah, we were all anxious to see Barco come back, especially how he did in the U20 tournament, how he was that dude over there and getting noticed. And hopefully he could have came back and still – because when he left, he had so much momentum. He was playing so well.
Yeah.
And it carried over. And so hopefully you're like, okay, we get him back. And then, you know, once the season restarts back up, well, he's going to be playing at this high level. Then we can go ahead and make our move right now. And now he's down.
Tito Villalba also unavailable for Wednesday's game against Toronto. This was a story we talked about over the weekend. Another unfortunate story, obviously, out of UGA football. Jeremiah Holloman dismissed from the team. There was an assault or an alleged assault back in 2018. Kirby Smart pretty quickly dismissed him from the team. He admitted that he did it. They talked to him, and he said, yeah, he did do what he was accused of doing. And now he's no longer on the football team. I think Kirby Smart got it right.
He did get it right, and it's just unfortunate because JJ was a guy who we were counting on this year at the wide receiver position. They're very young, but they're very talented. Guys like Harris Jackson from my hometown of Fort Valley. You got Mookie Blaylock's son. You know, he's a baller. I called a couple of his games when he went to Walter. He can ball. And then you got, you know, Demetrius Robinson is still there. You got the number one wide receiver out of Alabama coming in. I mean, so you got guys. You just got to – they just got to play a lot better earlier.
You have talent.
Yeah.
Talent that you haven't seen. That's what you have.
That's the thing.
Even Demetrius Robertson, who has shown talent at the college level, not at Georgia. I mean, he had a couple of big plays last year.
Yeah, but one big play, and he touched the ball the rest of the year.
Right, so one big play last year. They've got guys who come in with great pedigree, but we've not actually seen them do it at the college level. You mentioned this a couple weeks ago. Is Georgia's wide receiver core not great, or are they not known?
They're not known.
I think they're not known.
Yes.
Now we get a chance to really see those guys that are not known even more because the number one wide receiver on the depth chart isn't going to be on the team next year because he was dismissed from the team by Kirby Smart.
And we're still going to be a run-heavy team, so, I mean, you know.
You think this makes them more run-heavy?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yes.
I mean,
Well, no, here's the thing. I always thought that, you know, we're going to be 65-35 anyway.
Yeah, I don't think it changes it.
Yeah, I don't think it changes.
I mean, Jake Fromm's security blanket may not be there because I think that's what J.J. Holland or Jeremiah Holloman was going to be, so that won't be there. But I still think the offense is going to run pretty much the exact same way. And there's really only one guy on that offense that if he were to not be on the team, I would be really freaked out about.
And that's Jake Fromm.
That's really it. He's really the only one guy's like,
yes.
Oh. Anyone else besides him, they're so talented, I think that they could deal with it. All right, we'll come back. We'll get back into the Braves. Big series coming up starting tonight against the Chicago Cubs. 6.5-game lead in the East. How close are the Braves to just running away with the NL East? We'll get into all that and more coming up next here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Coming to you live from the Emory Sports Medicine Complex right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Couple segments left for us here live from the Emory Sports Medicine Complex, the Atlanta Hawks practice facility, where a lot happened today, Randy.
Yeah, man.
It was a fun day. Cam Reddish came by, said what's up. He was pretty chill, but still.
He was swaggy.
Swaggy.
He was swaggy.
The word swaggy was used. We got to the bottom of why guys don't wear socks. Because it's swaggy.
It's swaggy.
That's what it is. He also talked about because he had high waters on,
uh-huh.
And he didn't say high waters, but he said because my pants are so high,
yeah.
It would look weird if I wore socks.
Yeah, but and it would.
It would look weird.
It would look very weird.
Well, it might just look weird that guys are wearing high waters now as like a form of fashion.
Like, I'm curious because, like I said, I get my pants tailored and tapered and everything. And it's like when you're getting them that short, do you just ask for a shorter size or do they just go right to the leg? Right above your ankle.
That's
and tape
a great
it right
question.
There.
Because what? Say like I wear a 32 length pant.
Yeah.
Right.
So do I go get? So you do? You just go get a 28.
Right. Is that what you do, or is a 32 length now that?
Yeah. Like, that's a good question.
Do the 32s come short like that now? I don't know. That is interesting.
That's a good question.
We should have asked him that.
Yeah,
dang
we
it.
Should have. We should have asked.
Well, he's got his own fashion line now at JCPenney.
Yeah, man. I mean,
you made a great point, because when I was a kid, we went to JCPenney.
They didn't have no suits looking like that.
I was angry about it.
Yeah. They have they're looking like go to church looking like a damn deacon.
Well, the problem with the JCPenney shirts back in the day was, especially if you got the dress shirt, because you'd get like the dress shirt tie combo.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. No doubt.
You'd get the 2-in-1. You'd have to wash that thing and iron it 10 times before the creases came out.
Yes. Because that thing was creased out. Like, they had a crease machine for just JCPenney dress shirts.
Yeah. There was nothing you could do to get them out until just after time. But the problem was, after that time, nothing against JCPenney.
Right.
By the time you wash those shirts 10 times, then they'd start getting a little threadbare.
Yes.
Because it wasn't the most high-quality stuff.
You don't seem like you iron the back of your shirt.
The back of my shirt?
Yeah.
Why would I? Nobody can see the back of my shirt. If I have a jacket on, you're damn right I don't iron the back of it. Iron the front of it. I might iron the end of the cuffs that come out of the sleeve. I don't iron the sleeve. Depending on if I think I'm going to take my jacket
right.
off. If I think I'm going to take my jacket off, then I'll iron the sleeves and the back of it.
Okay.
But usually, like this time of year, I would have to iron it because the jacket's coming off immediately.
Correct.
It's too hot outside to have a jacket and a tie and a dress shirt on. Right. But no, wintertime?
Yeah.
We're going to a wedding in, like, October in the mountains. Oh, no. I'm on only the front.
Okay.
Only the front of the shirt. And I get those wrinkle-free shirts, so I just throw it in the dryer.
Throw it in the dryer, yeah.
That's my iron.
Okay, man. Hey, no problem. I just thought about it. Out of all the stuff we're learning and our listeners learning about both of us, it's just, ain't no lucky ironing shirts in the back.
Damn right. It's just a waste of time. Why would I iron it in the back? No one's ever going to see it. If it's going to make me feel better that the shirt's crispy in the back, plus it's just going to get all
I got you.
Sweaty and wrinkled in the back anyway. That's really neither here nor there. we'll get into an AMA coming up in 15 minutes. You could ask us questions about what parts of our shirts we iron and all kinds of stuff like that. The Solomon Brothers Diamond text line open, 404-741-0929, or on Twitter, at TBM929. You can get your questions in early. Now, we were talking briefly, before we get to the Braves, about just like ceilings for Cam Reddish and player comparisons.
Yeah.
I do find that to be unfair
a lot of times. Oh, without
a doubt. It's a totally unfair way to go about it. I was a little proud of myself for using Gordon Hayward.
Yeah.
Because, people usually only like to use comparisons that look like guys.
Oh, so white guys compared to white guys, black guys.
Yeah, nobody ever compares black guys to white guys and vice versa. So I always try to find one if I can, go outside the box a little bit.
Okay.
Somebody said Jimmy Butler on Twitter. I think that's a good one. Chris Middleton was one that we got
on the text line. That's another good one.
Rudy Gay was one that we got on the text line, which kind of fits.
Yeah.
I think Cam's a better shooter than Rudy Gay was when he came into the league. But the knock against Rudy Gay was always the knock that people say about Cam. Now, whether or not that turns out to be true about Cam Reddish, the motor and the motivation, all that stuff. Rudy Gay had all the tools.
Yeah, he did. I used to fuss with people on the radio about Rudy Gay. Well, hey.
Me too.
He just ain't that dude.
Yeah, I mean, Rudy Gay, whenever he was a free agent,
every team in the NBA, oh, we need to go get Rudy Gay.
I remember when I was in Portland, Rudy Gay was the big name, and Dwight was the big name.
Yeah.
And I was like, guys, no.
Yes.
You don't want that in here. You're fine. Those guys are going to get paid somewhere.
Right.
You don't have to be the teams that pay those guys. Anyway, hopefully Cam Reddish becomes his own player and people make positive comparisons to Cam Reddish down the road. All right. The Braves have a big series coming up tonight.
They do.
They're in Chicago against the Cubs. 4-game series against the Cubs. The road trip got off to a good start. Won the series against the Nationals. Finally figured out a way to beat the Nationals on Saturday, and it looked very much at times like you weren't going to beat the Nationals on Saturday. The Braves were down big in that game. Mike Foltynewicz had a terrible start again in that game. He ends up getting sent down to the minor leagues because of that game. But then the Braves do what they do. They rally in the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning. They lead baseball in basically every offensive category that you can think of in the 7th, 8th, and 9th, and they were at it again on Saturday for that rally. Dansby Swanson was huge. Freddie Freeman was huge. And then yesterday to win the series, Johan Camargo comes up big as a pinch hitter in the 10th inning. So you're off to a good start on the road trip. It's a 10-game road trip. We said, I think we agreed, Randy, going on this trip, just 6-4 would be great. Anything better than that is phenomenal.
Yeah.
But to me, if you're going to be 6-4 on the road trip, I wanted two of those wins against the Nationals. Got it. Two of those wins against the Mets. So you win the series against your divisional opponents, and then if you could split against the Cubs. Tonight would be a great way to start. You got Julio Teheran on the mound.
Yep.
He can have a bounce-back start to the way he pitched the last time he was out. But I wonder, is this still one of those series that is kind of a litmus
yes.
test series? It
yes.
is.
Yes.
Even though they've won 13 out of 16 yes. and they're 6.5 yes. up in the division, this series still has the same amount of importance?
Yes, it does, because it's the Cubs, and you want to measure yourself up against the best. And right now you talked about all the stats and everything about this Braves team seventh inning on. But, I mean, when you look at the talent that the Cubs have, I mean, it's not too long ago they won the World Series. You know that, right? I mean, so they have – they have this talent – it's just, you know, they've been up and down, but yet they're in, but yeah, I think they're leading a half game. They are a half game over Milwaukee, if I'm not mistaken. Correct me if you can.
I will fact check you on that.
But what
one.
I'm thinking
I
is.
I think you're right, though.
Yeah. And why is it that we thought that Milwaukee was a big challenge for them, or one of those next stepping stools, and not the Chicago Cubs? They're in the same division. I know they got Yelich and he's doing his thing and all that. But at the same time, if we're going to measure them against Milwaukee, we got to measure against the Cubs, because they are the best. They are the number one team, I should say, in the NL Central right now. So when you look at that, and I'm talking about potential down the road to play or something. I mean, yeah, this team that the Braves have right now, very good. But is it ready to go up against those boys out in L.A.?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They're a half game up on Milwaukee.
Okay.
Look, nobody's really touching L.A. right now. They've
right.
got the Braves are 6.5 up in the division with 46 wins.
Uh-huh.
The Dodgers have 54 wins. Mm-hmm. Like, we're talking about a very, very good, like, once in 10 years type of team that the Dodgers have right now, which is fine. The Braves are playing better over the last month and a half than they were at the beginning of the season.
Are they playing Dodger good?
They have been. They've been playing better. I mean, in terms of their record over the last month, they've been better than the Dodgers.
No, what I'm talking about is –
now, they haven't played the Dodgers.
That's what I'm saying. Are they – because what happened last time they played the Dodgers?
Not – much.
Foots.
Yeah, foots.
Foots.
Multiple foots.
Yes, foots.
They got swept. One word, foots. That's what happened last time they played the Dodgers. Well, you're right. You're absolutely yeah. right.
So now, that's what I'm saying. Are they at that Dodger level yet?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not willing to go that far.
Right.
But any other team in the National League?
Oh, without it. Oh, yeah.
I'm willing to go that far. And again, that's why the Cubs, I guess, is another good measuring stick. The only reason I asked it that way was because I think when it was the Dodgers before, or the Phillies in the opening series, or the Brewers about a month ago, or the Phillies last weekend, that almost was for confidence to me. Mm. Like, to me, confidence has to be almost unwavering now.
Oh, yeah,
like,
easily.
You're beating up on people. You're scoring all these runs. You've done this crazy thing where you've convinced yourself that no matter what the score is, you're never out of a game,
because
you keep coming back. They did it again on Saturday, down a whole bunch of runs late in that game. Like, that's confidence.
When does that get old, though?
What?
That right there, what you're talking about, that having to come back, or having to go out there and you put number 77 in, and then you're thinking, okay, we're good, and then you got to go to the 10th inning.
I understand what you're saying. So when does it get to the point where you don't have to do that once a week, where maybe it's once a month, where you find yourself?
I mean,
like
I enjoy the excitement. I enjoy the excitement of it. Yeah,
they've done it like 3 times in the last 8 games.
Yeah,
which
like,
is crazy.
Damn, I guess we're gonna come back, huh?
Right.
But they're built. It seems like they're built for it, though. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they did during spring training. Maybe when you and Joe and Brian, y'all were off doing something. Maybe Snick had a drill they were doing. But, I mean, they are so big time after number 7.
Here's, to me, the reason that they do that, and it's pretty simple, is because the more times that lineup is going to cycle through, the more chances they are something good is going to happen. So, if they haven't scored, look, that lineup's too good not to score. It's ridiculous how talented they are 1-8 right now.
Yeah.
Ozzy batting at the bottom of that lineup, teams would give a right arm to be able to have a guy like Ozzy Albies batting at the bottom of your lineup. That's a 2-hole hitter on most teams.
Right.
Or at the very least, a 5 or 6 hitter. You've got talent all up and down. With Josh Donaldson coming on the way that he has, Dansby sort of heating up again, Freddie's stayed hot the whole time, Acuna's hitting the ball really well. You know all of that. To me, it's just if you play enough innings and you wait long enough, eventually those guys are going to score some runs. Now, last night it took till the 10th, and it was a guy that we haven't even mentioned because he hasn't really had that great of a year in Johan Camargo. But to me, that speaks to what this team is right now, too, is it's just a different dude every single night seeming to step up and be the hero. Last night it was Camargo. Now, the frustrating part was what you just mentioned. Number 77, what's his name again? Are you not going to say it? Sorry, Luke Jackson. Yeah, he came in the 10th inning, and he almost gave the game back.
Like, so, literally almost gave the damn game back. Did. Andy, you're sitting there like, are you serious? Like, he's not about to do what I think he's about to do.
And that's what's so frustrating about it.
Yeah.
Because you know it's going to happen, and then it happens the way that you know it's going to happen.
And then you get –
when he
get
walks
mad.
The first runner. I know. It's the definition of insanity. And I do wonder, and I know I got some people coming at me on Twitter yesterday when Snit decided to take Tomlin out of the game. I don't really have a problem with that. Josh Tomlin hasn't thrown more than 4 innings all season. That was the second most pitches he's thrown all season. That's what his role is. All right.
Right.
And that's not seeming to change. To me, the role that needs to change is Luke Jackson's
yes.
role. It seems crazy to continue to go game after game after game in these situations and put a guy out there that has demonstrated that he can't do it. Now, you don't have a bona fide closer right
you
now.
You do not.
Hopefully, they'll go out and get one. But I'll take Swarzak in that role for a minute, see what that looks like. Maybe he steps up to the plate. You never know. You don't become a closer until you become a closer.
Exactly. I mean, when you can no longer relief pitch or pitch, you're the closer.
Right.
Good here.
And then if you can't be a closer, then you're a middle relief guy.
You can't do that, then you're out of job.
Well, you go to Gwinnett.
Yeah.
You get to go hang out with Fulte. All right, we'll come back. We'll answer any questions that you may have on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929, or on Twitter, at TBM929. Coming up next, your questions, our answers, right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
We're queuing up your questions with the Middays AMA.
Ask me anything.
Glad you asked.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Any question, any topic, either on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929, or on my Twitter, at TBM929. We always close the show out by answering anything that you want to know about. Again, before we get into some questions, thanks to the Hawks
yes.
for having us out here today.
Yes, very much.
We've been live at the Emory Sports Medicine Complex all day long. Had a chance to talk to Cam Reddish earlier on, Travis Schlenk and Lloyd Pierce as well. First off, beautiful building.
Yes, it is.
Happy to finally
very
get a
nice.
Chance to get in here and see it. Very cool, but very nice of them to have us up here, the hospitality, and set us up with some pretty fun interviews today on a Monday. So
yeah,
we appreciate it.
Always good to talk to Coach Pierce and Travis. Great to meet the first-round pick in Cam Reddish. Hopefully we'll come back up and meet the other guys, you know.
When they're allowed
for us to meet them and actually address them as Hawks. But that'll be sooner than later. But, yeah, again, it has been a great time up here. We do thank the Hawks for having us up here.
All right. We got a couple responses to that conversation about not ironing the back of your dress shirt. A
yes.
lot of people very happy with me that I revealed that on the radio. They said, good, I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure there's plenty of people that don't do it.
But
yeah.
you do?
Yeah.
All of it?
Yeah.
Front, back? You iron your own stuff?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it needs to be, like, knocked out, like, or something, like, iron, just a knockout or a wrinkle or something here.
But you do that yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I'm an iron my own stuff.
No. I usually send it to the cleaners. But if it's not in the cleaners, yeah, I iron it. No big deal.
Yeah, no.
I iron my T-shirts.
Do you really?
Yes.
Oh, that, yeah, you got the nice crease on the sleeve and all that stuff?
Yeah, I iron my T-shirts.
That's interesting.
You don't iron your T-shirts?
No.
Yeah, I can't go out. I mean, it depends on if I'm coming to work, I'll iron it. But if I'm, like, going to the grocery store or something, no, I just throw something on.
Wow. Yeah.
I
can't. No, I've never ironed a T-shirt. If it's wrinkly, I'll either wear it and not worry about it, or I'll throw it in the dryer for a little
bit.
Let the dryer knock it out of there a little bit. Now, Brad asked on Twitter, why are you guys washing dress shirts? I don't understand that question. Are we not supposed to wash our dress shirts?
No. Most people take them to the cleaners.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you dry clean your dress, your button-ups and stuff.
I don't do that.
Oh, okay.
I just throw it in the wash and then throw it in the dryer and then pull it out when it's warm and hang it up.
And pop it a couple times. You
do
the pop.
Exactly. You got to make sure you get the little the fabric softener out of there. That's the worst, when you put on a shirt and then later in the day find the fabric softener up in it.
The dryer sheet.
The dryer sheet, yeah. Supposedly the those are really bad for dogs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my dog loves them.
Really?
Anything that's bad for him, he does a great job of getting his hands on.
And
you find him chewing on one of those dryer sheets. Why do people say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing, expecting a different result, when it's not actually the definition? That might actually be the definition of insanity.
Yeah.
Continuing to incorrectly define insanity. I don't know. I thought that was the definition of insanity. What's the definition of it?
I just always heard that quote right there and never paid too much attention to it.
Yeah, that's one of those ones we just repeat.
Yeah, just repeat.
There's a lot of ones that we just repeat,
though. Yeah, but that's one.
I've been picking up on them a lot lately. People in sports radio do it all the time. Feather in your cap is one that I just don't understand. What's that?
When you gotta...
Who puts a damn feather in their cap?
Cam?
Cam Newton, that's true. But do you think like he did something positive and then said, I'll put a feather in my cap because I've just done something positive?
Nah.
Or do you think his cap came pre-feathered?
Nah.
It's just funny. It's like, oh, that'll be a nice feather in your cap.
Or what's the other one I hate?
If you do that.
What is it? Caught in my craw?
Stuck in my craw.
Stuck in my craw,
what's
yeah.
What's my craw?
Yeah, what
the hell's a craw?
Are you a bird?
I don't know. Or a burr in my saddle. I don't have a saddle. Yeah. I drive a Honda Element. I'm riding horses around here. You know what I mean? All right. Yeah, I don't know. What was your draft experience like, Randy?
It was an overly emotional, crying, mad night. That ended with a great morning.
Kind of a faulty type.
Yeah, it was a rough one, boy. Reaction. It was a rough one, but it all went away when your name is called and you're
okay. Because. Just
I was the first. I thought I was rejected as a first rounder. That's what the NFL gave me when I submitted my name to the draft. As far as the compliance office,
yeah.
I'm thinking about coming out early. Submit, they give it back. It said first 1-2, and so that's what we thought. We had a big old party at the house. Me and Terrence house in Athens. And long story short, I didn't get drafted until the next day. And throughout that day, there was a whole lot of alcohol, a whole lot of tears, a whole lot of emotions. You find out who your true friends are, who they are, and then. But it was all fun. The next day, Sunday morning, my name was called early, and we partied all day Sunday.
Yeah, I bet.
Yes.
I mean, that's one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's disappointing,
but
you did get picked in the fourth round to go into the NFL.
Yeah, I did get picked.
That's
and
wild.
It felt like I got picked. And anybody will tell you, when you get drafted, as soon as you hear your name, you don't remember where you were picked or anything.
It's kind of blacked out.
It's just kind of blacked out.
It's just excited.
Like,
I can only imagine.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome. Do you guys think Dan Quinn will still be here as the Falcons head coach 2 or 3 years from now?
Yeah, if they win.
Well, do you think they're going to win is, I think, the question.
Well, I mean, I'm picking them. They should be in the Super Bowl, so if that's the case, then yeah.
I think he will too. Yeah. But, yeah, it comes down to what happens this season.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot of, to me, a lot of gray area between
them. It's not
that.
At all.
I mean, win-loss records do come with context. We don't know what the context would be of whatever their final record is, but – yeah, I expect them to win this year, and maybe not a Super Bowl, but I expect them to be in the playoffs this year and have a chance at a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I just think Dan Quinn's a really good coach.
I think he's a damn fine football coach.
He's a really good
man.
Football coach. I mean, I feel similarly about a handful of coaches in this town. I think Kirby Smart's a really good football coach. Kirby Smart isn't going anywhere. We know that. But
okay.
I think he's a really good football coach. I think Lloyd Pierce is a really good basketball coach.
Yeah.
And sitting here talking to him today, I feel a lot of the same things that he does and brings to the table. I think Dan Quinn brings to the table. All right. I know Brian's got a handful of questions from the text line.
Yeah, we'll piggyback off that Falcons topic. If the Falcons are called the Brotherhood, what would you call the Hawks?
I don't know.
I have no clue.
That's the Brotherhood. So they're like the
Brotherhood.
They would be the
Foundation.
There you go. That's good. Something young.
Yeah, the Foundation.
Like the Lil Brotherhood or something like that because they're young. Oh, that was not good.
Yeah, I'm trying.
That was
god
awful. Well, all right, you come up with
that
one
was
then.
God
I don't
awful.
Know. I like the Foundation.
Tough guy?
I would just roll
all
with
right.
that.
But what's like a flock of hawks? You know, like a murder of crows? When a bunch of hawks are flying
together.
So
it's called the flock.
The flock.
Flock is
yeah.
not bad. That's good.
The flock.
Flock's
not
yeah.
bad.
The flock.
Yeah. But flock sounds like seagulls, though. Like, what's a group of
damn
hawks?
Damn it, Andy. I don't know that. Okay. I came up with two good answers. And he's like,
stop being so specific.
I'm
just really trying
to answer the question honestly for the people. All
We're
right?
going to move on to the next one.
All right.
Then. When was the last time you actually feared for your life?
Car accident like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
We got rear-ended real bad on the freeway in the middle of the night
by
a drunk driver that didn't have his lights on.
Uh-huh.
So me and Ashley were in the car, and all of a sudden, I mean, out of nowhere.
Right.
Bang!
Oh, man.
And the car's spinning out of control and all that. So, yeah, that was it. I was like, oh, God, we're going to die here.
Probably somewhere in some water. Yeah, that's about it. I was trying to swim and had to go get Kai because she was scared. But she had her vest on. And so I'm trying to go get her, and I didn't have my vest on. And we're out in the deep part of water, and her panicking and choking me. Like, baby, you got to relax before you take daddy down.
Right.
Like, I'm trying to get us a body here, but that's probably it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First job and your worst job?
First actual job? My first actual job.
NFL football player.
Yeah, that was my – but no, I remember – no, I take before I went to college, my mom said I had to have some money.
You know,
so, and so that's when she was still living in Virginia. So I moved back up there with her in Petersburg. and I had to get a job at a manual labor, same day pay temp agency.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I was in I was digging ditches. I was in the hole in the sewer for 16 hours one time. And then I was on the shipyard working the big boats that bring in tobacco and was, like, lugging them all day. So,
dang.
Yeah, that's first job.
The first job I had was working with my dad in the summer times when I was a kid doing construction, but he didn't pay me for it. So I don't know if you can
really
call that a job. No.
Oh.
Not when I was young. No.
Same day pay.
You do this, you do that. The first job I had where I had to apply and go to an interview and all that stuff was at a deli in Seattle.
Did you wear a shirt and tie?
No. To the interview?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Probably not. No one wears a shirt and tie in Seattle for anything. But that was a job that I quit because they wouldn't let me listen to the Mariners games on that when I was doing the dishes and making sandwiches. They were like, no, you have to listen to this easy, smooth jazz we have on. I was like, oh, I'm out of here, Max. Job's tapped. See ya.
Last question for you guys. Which 92.9 The Game employee can walk the fastest 40 time?
Walk the fastest? Like speed walk?
I guess that's what he means, yeah.
I feel like Carl Dukes might have like a good mall walk.
No.
No?
Did you call it a damn mall walk?
He seems like a mall walker.
Do you call it a mall walk?
Yeah, you've seen people mall walk, right? Older
I'm
folks?
I'm trying to think about that. Hell is a mall walk?
Fricky probably has like a power walk, you know what I'm talking about. Easier on your knees. Is that it? We're out of here? All right, that's a good place to end. Oh, a group of hawks is called a kettle.
Thank you.
Kettle of Hawks.
Who is that? Who says that?
Brenda.
Thank you, Brenda.
Brenda always coming through with
thank
the help.
Thank you, Brenda.
Kettle of Hawks. That's what we'll call him, the kettle. We'll come back and wrap things up, tell you what we learned today, hand off to Dukes and Bell right after this. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.